verses 29 through 31. Gary Hunter, this is your life verse that you submitted to us a while back as we continue to go through life verses that people are sharing with us that we can dig deep into. Matthew 10, 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Let's pray together. Lord, I know there's times in my life when I have felt worthless, when I have felt unworthy. I felt that way when you brought me to the cross to repent and to ask you to become my Lord and Savior. And then there's been other times too, low times in my life, when I wonder how I could matter to the God of the universe and wonder what my worth truly is. Help us to get a little more insight from this life verse today, Lord, of what our worth is in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the value of something? You know, it's not as easy to figure out as you might think. There's the question of purchasing power, after all. Did you know that your money, the money that you have in your pocket, perhaps, is worth less now than it was a few decades ago? 48 years ago, in 1970, I got my first paying job, working at the Burger Chef in Roswell, Georgia, for $1.25 an hour. In a 12-hour day, I'd make $15. Big money. Today's minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. And a 12-hour day at that rate would rake in $87. That sounds like a whole lot more, doesn't it? But wait. You know, one of the challenges in figuring out the value of something in the Bible is figuring out equivalence between today's money and yesterday's money. And I'm sure you've seen perhaps pictures of a sparrow or two sparrows and next to it two pennies. But that doesn't really quite work. We've got to work at finding the value a little bit harder than that. Now, I did, in researching how you find out relative values, come across something amazing. Because remember, my first job was in a burger joint, Burger Chef, since it's gone out of business. There is something called the Big Mac Index. This is a real thing. The Economist magazine in 1986 set up the Big Mac Index so that they could compare the relative values of different international currencies one to another depending on how much a Big Mac cost in that country. And I found out that you can also apply the Big Mac Index into the past as well, comparing today's money to yesterday's money. So in 1970, this is an actual menu from a McDonald's in 1970, a Big Mac cost 65 cents. Man, those were the days, huh? 65 cents for a Big Mac. Do you know that that meant that my $1.25 an hour, $15 12-hour workday could buy me 23 Big Macs? But you take a look at the cost of a Big Mac today. $4.79 on that receipt. I did call to the Bullsboro McDonald's and found out that this week they're going for $4.29. But let me tell you a little bit of a sticker shock thing. Go to the airport, to the McDonald's there, and find out how much a Big Mac is there. $6 or $7 for a Big Mac, or in California. So we're going to go with $4.79. You know how many Big Macs your $87 at $4 and 75 cents an hour would get you today's minimum wage? 18. I could buy more Big Macs in 1970 with my lousy $15 than you can buy today with $87. The value of money fluctuates. Now, at this point, having confessed to you where my first job was and gotten you all hungry for a Big Mac, I got to do my junk food disclaimer, okay? I am not trying to get you to rush out and go buy junk food. Some of you might remember last year I did a whole six-week series on taking responsibility for your spiritual life and your personal life, confessed to you that I was 20 pounds at least overweight, and covenanted to lose 20 pounds in 6 weeks. You might remember that I did it. Went from 220 to 200. Well, today I'm clocking in at 197. So eat healthy, folks. Don't make your major food investment, no matter how delicious it might be, at the Big Mac store. But fair warning, there's more Big Macs to come, okay? Sorry. Moving on to the relative value of a sparrow. That idea that a penny would buy you two sparrows is a little bit misleading, because what it's really talking about is this coin right here. It's called an Assyrian. This is a 1994 penny. This coin is somewhere between 1800 and 2000 years old. It is the copper coin of the Gospel of Matthew. And its value was more than a penny. After all, if the worth of a sparrow is half a cent, that is pretty close to worthless, isn't it? And we make a mistake if we say that Jesus was saying sparrows were worthless or the next best thing to it. After all, how many of you would stop to pick up a penny? Well, maybe I better not ask you, because I know some of you, and some of you would definitely stop and pick up a penny. How many of you would stop and pick up a penny that's been cut in half? Probably not quite so many. You know, in ancient times, people would take coins and cut them into pieces, because the coins were very closely tied to the actual value of the metal they were made of. And so you could cut up a coin and it would be worth half of that coin's value, a quarter of that coin's value, whatever it might be. Today, it's different. Modern coins are tokens, essentially. It costs more to make a penny than a penny's worth. It costs more to make a nickel than a nickel's worth. But you know where they make up for it? In the paper money. In the paper money. It costs 5 cents to print a $1 bill. It costs 12 cents to print a $100 bill. Basically, today, money is worth what the government says it is and what you believe it is. So what's the true value of a sparrow in today's money? The best estimation that we can make. Well, a denarius was kind of the dollar of the day. One day's labor was rewarded with one denarius for a common worker. And so if we make 2,000 years ago's common worker equivalent today's minimum wage worker at a 12-hour day, we'll call it $87 for a denarius. But the Assyrian, this coin right here, there were 16 Assyrians in one denarius. So that means that one Assyrian in today's money would be worth about $5.44, which means that it'd be worth 1.14 Big Macs, to get back to the Big Mac index. All right? You know, getting out at 11 o'clock, you will get there ahead of the Methodists, so. And remember, it's two sparrows for one copper coin. So one sparrow would be about $2.72, or 54% of a Big Mac. However, Luke points out in his Gospels that you could get a discount if you bought sparrows in bulk. Five sparrows at a time. In which case, they would be $2.17 in today's money, or about 30-some-odd% of a Big Mac. Well, not worthless, but not much, is it? After all, I've seen any number of half-eaten Big Macs in trash cans, and I have never yet to this day been tempted to reach in and pick one up. Bottom line, sparrows were cheap. Which moves us on to the value of you and me. A sparrow, although small and common, trash birds, as the Stones used to call them when they wanted to see robins and blue jays and cardinals and all the rest. Not worth much by human standards, whether 2,000 years ago or today. Still, that sparrow is individually known by God. That's what Jesus points out when he says, "And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." Each individual sparrow you see, and I guarantee if you be looking for them in the next few days, you'll see lots of sparrows. Every single one of them was made by God. And he knows every one of them. Your short lives, their little deaths. He knows them, which is pretty impressive for the God of the universe to know every sparrow. And so, if a sparrow is worth that much before God, then what are we worth? Jesus says, "Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Well, you know, in terms of our chemical components, if you were to break us down and churn us up and make us into the chemicals we're made of, the latest estimate I've been able to find is that we would be worth, as inert lumps of matter, $160. That's a whole lot more than a sparrow. That is 33 Big Macs. That's how much you're worth. If all we're talking about is the lump of matter that is you, you know, there's a whole lot of the world that's all they care about is the lump of matter that is you. And you go out and buy the things they want you to buy, and you go out and do the things they want you to do. They don't care a rip about you as an individual. As a matter of fact, they would just as gladly do you harm, shorten your life, if you will go buy their product or do their thing. No skin off their nose. Most you're worth to them is $160. Congratulations. 33 Big Macs. But you know, there's a better way to look at the worth of something than just its material value. There is the perceived value of something or someone. This picture is called the Red Vineyard. Those of you who know art immediately recognize the artist as Vincent van Gogh. Vincent van Gogh, one of the greatest artists who ever lived, who only painted for 8 years. And in that 8-year period, he produced 800 paintings. And in his lifetime, only one of those paintings was sold. That one, the Red Vineyard. He participated in an exhibition in Paris, and a woman named Anne Bosch bought that painting for the equivalent to, in today's money, of about $2,000. The only one ever sold in his lifetime. Today, the cumulative value of the 800 paintings of Vincent van Gogh is well over $1 billion. Nobody knows exactly how much because most of them are in museums today and will never be sold again. But just based on the selling price of the ones that have been sold in the 20th and 21st century and extrapolating from that the value of some of the others, at least $1 billion for Van Gogh's 800 paintings. But if the Red Vineyard were ever to be sold again, and it is another one of those that's in a museum, so that's not likely to happen, but I've read a number of art evaluators who've said, if this painting was ever sold again, it would bring in more money than any other painting in human history. Because it's the one painting that Vincent van Gogh ever sold in his lifetime. That makes it unique among the 800 most valuable paintings in the world. Who knows what someone would be willing to pay for it? But it's only a few dollars worth of wood and canvas and paint, painted 100 years ago by a man who many people say was certifiably insane. It's worth next to nothing in terms of its material being. But because of its story and the hand that created it, it's worth an unknown amount of money. It could be worth $500 million or $1 billion just on its own if it were ever to be sold. Why? What makes a difference? It is the perceived value of the person who would pay such an amazing sum for paint splattered on a piece of canvas. So how much are you worth in the eyes of God? It's a big question mark. To the world who sees you as just a lump of matter, you're worth $160 tops. But how much are you worth to God? Remember, you were worth enough that you were invited to his table. You were worth enough that you were invited to come and remember what Jesus did for you. But more so than that, you were worth enough that Jesus did it for you. As Paul points out in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I believe that that verse indicates that Jesus took upon himself at the cross the sins of every human being who ever lived or who ever will live, so that every single individual who ever lived or ever will live would have the opportunity to be forgiven and to become a son or daughter of God and to spend eternity with our Father in heaven. You know, don't you, that the Bible says that not everyone will say yes. And that means that Jesus even died for the people that would say no. Because he foreknew who would say yes. Is that not love? Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. But this is more than friendship. This is the perception of you as being of ultimate worth. Because there is no greater gift than could be given than the incarnate Son of God, his life for yours and for mine. The Red Vineyard is as nothing compared to the worth of your life in the eyes of God. Where do you stand with him today? Let's pray.